Coming up, I'm going to tell you when you need to be job hopping, and then leaked screenshots and more nanny-based leadership and a record Blake. I can't talk. Let's just get started. Here we go. Wow. How about that, folks? Now, this is a great lesson for you that sometimes just doesn't go the way you want to go. Don't sweat it. This is the show where we help you get the competitive edge in your work so that you can make more money and make more impact. Now, here's what I was attempting to say. We have a world record-breaking employee to tell you about coming up in the show. And something about world record-breaking, my brain just went, aah! So that's coming up. A lot to get to. Let's get to it. So, job hopping. How many of you out there have a fear of being labeled a job hopper? How many? All right, I'm seeing you raise your hands all over the place. People are worried about being a job hopper. What that really means is they're worried about their resume looking like, oh, you're a flake. You move every 3 or 4 months. That is the idea of a job hopper, this fear that people have. Nobody wants to be looked at that way. You don't want to be looked at as not dependable, flaky, flighty, all the things. And so this is interesting. Nobody wants to be perceived that way, but how do we actually look at jobs? And this is a commentary on our humanness, and then also how bad a lot of workplaces are. A study from Lattice, An employee management software platform, said that over 50% of employees are searching for new jobs within the first 3 months. Wow. So again, this speaks to two things that we need to highlight here so that I can get you to think about job hopping differently. Because I want to challenge you that job hopping can be a good thing. But there's something about us. We get in, right? We as humans, we long for something. We get it. We've had it for a little bit of time, in this case, a 3-month job, and you're already going, what else is there? Well, we got to be careful about this. If, in fact, you are in a healthy culture, if, in fact, the job that you went for is the thing that you went for, and you already are casting an eye to the future, you got to be careful about that. Because when we obsess about the next, we miss what we need to be doing in the now, becoming in the now, and then we can ultimately sacrifice the next. So the common question we get on the show about job hopping is, hey, Ken, I feel like I want this opportunity, or I've got an opportunity, and if I'm afraid that if I leave for it and I do it, that I'll look like a job hopper. So we get this call, we get this email, we get this social media question a lot. So I want to address this. Not all job hopping is created equal. What do I mean? Well, if you are taking the next step because you have been recruited or an opportunity has come to you through a connection and it is a step up the ladder and you were in a place not very long before you got an opportunity to step up, and you won the position, no matter what happens in the future, as someone scans your resume, anybody with half of a brain is going to look at that and go, oh, so you were here for 4 months, and then you got a promotion and went to this other company. That's the real reaction here. Now, if you are in one job for 3 months, like 50% of these people in this Lattice survey, and you're already looking for a new position, and you leave to go somewhere else, and you've only been there 3 months, and it's not a promotion, it's a lateral move, or let's call it a complete pivot, then that's going to raise some eyebrows naturally. Why were you only there for 3 months? You didn't ask good questions in the job? You changed your mind? That can start to make you look flighty, flaky. Okay? So it all depends on why you are changing jobs. And if you continue to do this, then it's a problem. So let's park here for a second so that we can truly define negative job hopping versus positive job hopping. So again, let's say we get this call all the time that you've taken a job recently and you were essentially lied to. We're going to cover that constantly on this show because it's happening more and more. I'm going to highlight these stories so that I can warn you that in the job process, it is up to you to ask the right questions, to dig deep, to try to guard yourself from being lied to. Now, sometimes we could just be duped and lied to, and that's not our fault. But let's say that you chose a position, you got there, and it's completely different than what they said it was going to be. This, again, is not flakiness or flightiness if you go, they lied to me. They told me I was going to be doing this, and I'm doing this. In fact, we had a call like that this week, I believe, Alex. So in that situation, hey, we got to be adults and go, there's no shame in my game. I was lied to. So let's play this progression out. So the next thing you do is you go, okay, they lied to me. There's trust broken. I'm not going to do this. So we begin to look for something else. We step into that new thing, and it's the right thing, and presumably we're not going to be lied to. Well, again, if there's that one short gap where, or not a gap rather, but a short stint, and somebody asks you about that, you go, look, I got to tell you, they lied to me. And I just, you know, I needed to move on. But you went from a 2-month stint to a 3-year stint. Again, somebody looking at that, they go, what happened? You tell them. Without throwing anybody under the bus. And all of a sudden, again, anybody with half a brain, decent amount of reason is going to go, okay, that makes total sense because you went from a 2-month stint to a 4-year stint. You're not a flake. All right. But here's why I want to flip this. I actually think instead of being worried about job hopping, we ought to start reframing job hopping. How about instead of it being job hopping, we call it job climbing? This is kind of fun. So I live in a neighborhood that used to be in a heavily wooded area, and we have a golf course in the neighborhood. And some of you are going, oh, I see Kent's pinky just starting to go up as he said that. Okay, here's my point. We have a lot of wildlife, and it's not deer. For whatever reason, we don't have deer issues in the neighborhood, but you know what we have an issue with, Joe? Rabbits. Those wascally wabbits, as Elmer Fudd used to say on Looney Tunes. Whole generation of viewers have no idea what I'm talking about. Go look it up. Elmer Fudd, one of the great cartoon characters of all time. So here's what I know about rabbits. When I'm driving home at night, Alex, late afternoon, early evening, these little suckers are jumping around all over the alley. And I got to be careful not to run over them. And the way they hop, it's kind of a here, the little spastic. That's job hopping. Job climbing. Watch, folks. Listen, this is a vertical movement. I am climbing up. So is this the time to hop? For millions of people, yes. 4.5 million people, a new record, changed jobs in March of 2022. So I want to set you free. If you have an opportunity to advance, you are not going to be looked at as a job hopper. You are going to be seen as a job climber, and that is attractive. So why should we embrace job hopping in a positive way or job climbing? Because it's going to speed my progress up. Got to climb. Got to go to get where I want to be. Coming up in the news next. Giving you the competitive edge to win at work and to win in life. More money, more impact. That is our sole mission here on the Ken Coleman Show. So excited that you are with us. And in fact, in order to do more of that, boy, I had a great couple of meetings this morning. A little slow clap for the Ramsey Solutions team that I get to work with. We are dreaming and scheming right now. And Ramsey Academy, what I'm doing with those fine folks is some of the most exciting work that I've done in my life. Every Thursday night in the month of May, we are hosting a free crash course to help you boost your career tool belt so that you can get where you want to go, move there faster. On Thursday, May the 12th, we're hosting a marketing crash course. Digital marketing specifically is our focus. It's a great career field with a lot of potential growth. You're a winning digital marketer. Can I just tell you something? The sky is your limit in our world. It's just the future. It's the now. Digital marketing is the game, and we're all just trying to figure out how to play it. And so if you've been thinking about a career in marketing, or you're already in marketing and you want to get more skills, upskill, if you will, this course is for you. Ramsey Solutions Senior Digital Marketing Officer Andy High, who leads all of our marketers here at Ramsey, joins me. We co-teach this, if you will. If you'd like to sign up for this crash course, go to RamseySolutions.com/crash courses. RamseySolutions.com/crash courses. And we've got more coming your way. And boy, are we dreaming and scheming right now. Oh my goodness, I cannot wait. All right, it is that time. You folks, whether you are new or old to this show, you have come to expect. You have come to trust my opinion about the headlines that matter most to you. Let's unpack it in the news. All right, this story has got me fired up, and I'm going to try to pace myself, Alex. I already feel, see, I'm already talking for a minute here, right? Because I'm just, boy, I got to be careful. And let me tell you what this story is another example of. Folks, we have less leadership and more nannyship than we've ever had in our world before. Now, what's the difference between leadership and nannyship? I'm glad you asked. Leadership is serving people, caring for people, guiding people, coaching people. That's how I would define leadership very simply. Nannyship is monitoring people, distrusting people, devaluing people. We're getting treated like kids. Come here, Ken. Let me wipe your nose. That's what a nanny says. And a nanny should do that for kids. But leaders should never even come close to acting like a nanny. But here we go. One of the world's most famous companies is displaying some awful, cringe-level nannyship. J.P. Morgan is the culprit. J.P. Morgan has asked hybrid employees to come into the offices at least 3 days a week. I got no problem with that. The bank is now tracking ID swipes to monitor staffers' office attendance. I have a problem with that. One executive described there being the fear of God and panic over the attendance quotas. And can I just tell you, I don't think the fear of God is actually over the quotas. I think it's about what the quotas and the monitoring are actually creating. I'm going to break it down. The bank employs more than 270,000 people around the globe. This is from one of their London-based technology staffers on this new monitoring situation. At JP Morgan, nobody trusts you. The higher-ups don't trust you to do your job if they're not constantly watching you in the office. Whether that's true or not, that's the perception. And leaders, you are responsible for perceptions. All right. So Business Insider is the source on this article, and they reviewed nearly a dozen messages about JP Morgan's return to the office on Blind, which is a platform that allows verified employees to share posts anonymously. Here's one comment. It feels like every movement of ours is tracked. We're treated like children who don't want to do their homework and need constant monitoring. This is the indicting comment. See, leaders don't have to monitor. Leaders do hold accountable, but leaders don't have to monitor. I remember when we had our three kids, and we had our kids, all of them were little in the mid-2000s, right? That was our era. And boy, they had all these new, I'm sure the technology now, Alex, is unbelievable. But back then, they had these pretty cool monitors. And so we'd put the kids down at night, and every once in a while, we were big friends with all the people on our street. And we had the technology, which was awesome. We'd put the kids in bed, and we'd go over to the neighbor's house right next door. I mean, we're talking 15 feet away. But we could monitor our kids while we were next door. Okay? I get that for parents. But leaders, really? By the way, we were monitoring babies in cribs, which is a fancy way of saying prison. Adults don't like this. And let me go a step further and say that adults don't need this. Throughout the bank, these measures have produced anxiety and dread, according to much feedback from anonymous sources. And then they have a quote here in this article from one of the managing directors, and I got to highlight this. Like a lot of things in life, people want to be trusted to work from home and be treated as adults. But there's always a free rider who is supposedly working from home, so it's hard to know what's happening unless there is monitoring. What? This is a managing director, fancy title for leader, at JP Morgan, who is saying that this monitoring is a necessary evil. And he's basically saying, there's always some free rider. This is a direct quote. So it's hard to know what's happening unless there's monitoring. You dolt! It's not hard to know if you're engaged in their life and with them. Well, how often are you interacting with them? Or are you just stalking them? Oh, that really pisses me off that a leader would say that. That accountability is only achieved through monitoring? This is nonsense. It's horrible leadership. Horrible. Listen, you want to lose people? You lose them. You lose their soul before you lose their body. And the way you lose a person's soul is by treating them as though you don't trust them. By the way, the only way trust is established in parenting is when I give my kid a little bit of rope and I see how they do with it. In other words, I have to give freedom in order to establish trust. Hey, I'll let you go out with your friend. You got a curfew at 11. And I can monitor you on your phone. I see where you are, but you better be back before 11. You better not have alcohol in your breath or whatever, whatever, whatever. But the only way that we establish accountability and establish maturity in that relationship is by allowing for some trust. All right, fun story. Let's go positive. 100-year-old man breaks the Guinness World Record for working at the same company for 84 years. I love this story. 100 years of age, Walter Orthman of Brazil started with this company, Renault, I guess is how you say that, January 17th of 1938. He was quickly promoted after starting to a sales position and became a sales manager shortly thereafter, a post he has held for more than 84 years. He said this record was his proudest achievement. And then he said, when we do what we like, we don't see the time go by. There's an old phrase, time flies when you're having fun. That's true of work as well. All right, folks, welcome back to the Ken Coleman Show. Hey, the job search, even though we are in still hot job market, it is a buyer's market, meaning you, the job seeker. I know that it can be long and lonely and frustrating. That's why I endorse ZipRecruiter. They're number one in the nation as it relates to helping you get a job because of their technology, which makes it so stinking easy for you and the companies that are looking for you to match up. They save you all kinds of time by allowing you to apply for a job with one click. And not only that, they're always matching your profile. As a recruiter, they're sending your profile and resume out to companies who are paying them for access to you. So that means it's a free service for you as well. You can live your life, do your life, and get some opportunities knocking on your door. It's a no-brainer. Sign up for free at ZipRecruiter.com. Sign up free at ZipRecruiter.com. All right, let's go to Kodiak, Alaska. County, coolest name ever, I think. County, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hi, how are you doing today?
I am living the dream, County. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good, though. My financial situation as far as work goes probably needs a little bit of help.
Okay, that's why I'm here. I'm your coach. What's up?
So I've sort of backed myself into a corner. I went to school to be a surgical technologist, and I've been doing this job fairly successfully for about 6 years. However, about 3 years ago, right before the pandemic started, I had made the decision that I sort of wanted to leave. I wasn't feeling super fulfilled in the job role. I'm good at my job, but I just didn't really feel it was necessarily what I was called to do. When the pandemic hit, I was doing really well. I was making all kinds of money with everybody wanting everybody to be in the work. And that was great for a while. But now with mandates and everything else that's gone on, I'm kind of back to the right where I was, just not feeling fulfilled and kind of being taken for granted.
Mm-hmm.
And the role that I'm in, I'm not in one specific hospital. I travel. So I've been from Kodiak, Alaska to Washington, D.C. and a little bit of everywhere in between.
Goodness gracious. Kodiak to Washington, D.C. is no easy little jaunt.
No, it's not. But
so what is your calling? You said it wasn't, which it leads me to believe you have an idea or you are pretty clear on what it is you really want to do.
Oh, well, I have a very clear-cut idea of what I would absolutely love to do, but that kind of takes a secondary person. If I had my way, I would be married and raising babies, and that would be my role. But
okay.
I'm single as a Pringle.
Oh, okay. So. Well, listen, the good news is we can remedy that. I'll give you some relationship dating advice as well, folks. I am a one coach to all, okay? So that's not a problem. So why do you feel unfulfilled all of a sudden? Because it was like, I was unfulfilled, then the pandemic hit, and the money was really awesome. So it makes me wonder if the paycheck was so fat that it allowed me to kind of forget where I was unfulfilled. And now something's changed or we've settled back down. And I'm just curious what the source is of this unfulfillment.
That kind of was where it was. I was being paid so much that I was able to first get myself completely out of debt to where now I don't have anything. But on top of that, I also don't have anything. I don't have a home that I live in. I live exclusively out of Airbnbs because I travel so much. So I don't really have a place that I call my own. Even
has
now,
your
I'm
pay
in a,
changed?
It is now. The end of my contract here in Kodiak will end here in the next few weeks. So I will be out of a job exclusively and looking forward, trying to figure out where I would go.
Okay. So
next.
Do you have a fully funded, you got a fully funded emergency fund?
Yes, sir. I do for 6 months, okay. Along with a housing fund in order to find housing wherever I go.
Okay. And this contract, you're not interested in renewing and nor are they.
I don't have the luxury of renewing. I can only stay in one physical address for less than a year.
So how long before you're without a paycheck?
Here in probably the next week or so.
Okay. I wish you would have called me earlier, but here's the good news. You're single.
Well, it wasn't until about a week ago that I realized I was basically unmarketable to any other hospital.
Why are you unmarketable? That doesn't make any sense.
I was unable to get the vaccine due to my own moral and ethical boundaries.
So this is a vax issue.
Partially, yeah.
Okay, so let me ask you this. What work are you qualified to do that doesn't require a vax?
As far as I'm aware, that's the only marketable skill I have. I don't own any kind of college degree. I was certified through all of the U.S., so I can work anywhere. I just can't.
Yeah, you're missing my whole point. Forget the fact that you don't have a degree because nobody cares. I certainly don't care. Okay. You are qualified to do what type of work? Don't just give me like hospital. I'm saying how would you define your work? Give me three or four one word descriptions of actually what you do. Not the technical definition, but like I research, I organize. Do you understand what I'm saying when I ask this question? Because I'm taking your brain somewhere. Describe in one word descriptions the type of work you do.
Detail oriented, fast-paced environments, and I work well under pressure.
Okay, but that's good. Those are character qualities. You work well under pressure, and you manage details, right?
For all intents and purposes, that's kind of the extent of what I've been doing in this role. I've just sterility and making sure I have all of the little bits and bobs that could possibly be needed.
Right. And so your actual job description is what? Give me your actual job description as I would
certified,
see.
I'm a certified surgical technologist, so I assist in surgeries with surgeons.
Right. And what is it that you do during surgery?
I assist the surgeon in any way that he needs, whether that be holding retractors, getting surgical implements. I have birthed over 500 babies. That's pretty much the extent of what I do.
Mm-hmm. Okay, couple of things. So you are a person who's very good with details. You're very disciplined. You're very administrative. Probably, I'm guessing you see details pretty well. You see organization patterns pretty well. Is that true?
Yeah.
Okay, so you can work in a lot of different places that aren't hospital related. You could run an office. You could be an office manager. I got to tell you right now, I kid you not, Milka Ortiz just called me about somebody she's got, and she's going to have to fire him. She wants you to work for her. So if that's a short-term deal, you got no house anyway. So we got to get you, A, to a populated area, stateside, because that's where we're going to have a better chance of meeting a dude who you want to be with to make some babies and be a mama, right?
Ideally, yes. That'd
okay.
be fantastic.
And here's the deal. I'm going to give you my Get Clear career assessment because we're talking short-term temporary anyway. You just want to go do work that you are good at and that you enjoy until you settle down and you become a full-time mama and wife, which, by the way, is the greatest job on the planet, in my opinion.
I agree.
All right, then. So I don't want you using that emergency fund. That emergency fund is for an actual emergency, not for 1 month of unemployment. So you may have to dip into it a little bit because we just got last minute notice that you're out in a week. But I want you deciding, A, where do I want to go? Because you're single and you got no roots, at least where you are now. Where do you want to go? And then
I'd like to go back to D.C.
D.C. All right. So now we got a circle. Northern Virginia, D.C., Maryland, that area around D.C. So we circle that on the map and we go, okay. How many people do I know in the D.C. area? What would you guess that number is?
Close friends, probably 5.
Yeah, I didn't ask you close friends. How many people do you know?
Acquaintances, well over 50.
Over 50. I'll bet you it's even higher. And I'll bet you all those people know in that area 200, 300 each, would you say?
More than likely, yes.
More than likely. County, you have a massive database in the area you want to live in, and you have a lot of experience and skill that is transferable outside of the operating room. True or false?
True.
So we're looking for jobs in DC that pay you good money, that allow you to use that talent and leverage that experience. Your homework assignment is to take my Get Clear career assessment, which is going to spit out a detailed report on your talent, what you do best, your passion, work you love to do, and then your mission, results that really matter to you, that you want to contribute to your work. You're going to see a purpose statement, which becomes a high-level job description. I want you to use that as you talk to friends and family. Email it to them all. Say, hey, I'm looking for a job that kind of matches up with this purpose statement. Go do that in the meantime. Relax. Meet a man. Tell him to put a ring on it. This is the Ken Coleman Show.
Thanks for listening to The Ken Coleman Show. For more, you can find the show on demand wherever you listen to podcasts and watch the show on YouTube. You can also find Ken across all social media by following at Ken Coleman.
Hey, if you're a fan of this podcast, we've got more where that came from. As you know, at Ramsey, we're always looking to protect our listeners from scummy companies, slick marketing, and money myths. I'm George Camel, host of The Fine Print, where I do the research for you to help you rise above the system that's designed to keep you broke and in debt so that you can become confident in your money choices. Check out The Fine Print wherever you listen to podcasts.